to the Good Manners Map with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Diana from Venezuela. Sabra. you kind of want to say it like that, eh?
I feel exotic now.
You are.
I am. Caribbean.
You are very exotic. Very exotic. So tell us a bit about what it was like growing up in Venezuela.
Well, the time that I grew up in Venezuela, the early mid-80s and 90s, it was quite a beautiful, very rich country, we didn't know we were that rich. Very as exotic as you think mm-hmm. I am, I think we were that exotic. Very warm, fun, happy, yeah, like a party, very happy and cheerful people overall.
You do imagine it. Obviously, there's been some recent changes, but we'll not really allude to those because we're talking about sort of traditions. So most people still aspire to, you know, the good old days in their countries or however they grew up, or the nostalgia of, you know, repeating what their parents did and their grandparents did. But as a child, what happens when a baby's born? Is it very family orientated in Venezuela?
Oh, yes. I mean, depending on the child and the sex of the child, there will be certain very specific presents, which it's funny because when I share with European friends, they all find it funny and a little bit weird. But for example, if it's a little girl, she'll get her ears pierced in the clinic.
Wow.
So as a present, you give gold rings, like earrings.
Ah.
And she won't leave the clinic without them.
Okay.
Because otherwise, how would people know that she's a girl?
That's actually quite smart.
Right?
That's quite smart.
Yeah.
Okay, but what do little boys get?
So it will be like a little bracelet with his name.
Okay.
And yes, of course, you'll dress him in blue. But for the girls, the earrings is clever.
Well, I think that's actually smart, and they could have, you know, get diamonds for their first birthday.
Well, I want to say that we could have gone for diamonds, but we couldn't afford them.
But are there other things that happen? You know, is it a mainly Catholic country? What's the religion that's predominant? So do you do baptisms and things like that?
Yes. So we usually do the baptism where we do follow religion overall. And it's usually like a big celebration. So baptism, communions, you know, like your kids are usually brought up into the religion and with all the traditions in place.
Okay, so it's the pretty dresses,
the white dress,
the works.
Yes. So when you're born, of course, baptism, the white, pretty big dress for the baby,
mm-hmm.
and then communion, we go again. It just looks like you're a tiny person. You're not getting married, but your dress looks like you could.
Yeah, yeah. I sometimes think they make up children a bit too much for that, but you know, it's what it is.
And just making them look like they're little angels.
Little brides, but yeah, little angels.
Little angels.
And what's school like in Venezuela? What was it like? Is it a Monday to Friday? Is it?
Yes, so Monday to Friday, and we also have, again, linked to religion, nun schools and mm-hmm. preschools where only girls go, only boys go.
Ah.
Yes, I happen to go to a nun school mm-hmm. pretty much my entire life.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. They started mixing it when I graduated, actually. So it took a good amount of time, you know. They like to preserve and, you know, keep the traditions. And, yeah, I think it was kind of comfortable growing up with girls. But I also, if you don't have other social circles, then I don't think it's good for you as a woman, you know, not to be able to socialize with the other sex. So
yes.
I think it's important to keep both genders and to, you know, socialize equally.
So did you sort of play in the street as kids with the other families and things, or it's with your own family, you stay quite, you know, isolated, for want of a better word, but, you know, a big family, lots of kids to play with, or do you mix with whoever's in your neighborhood, in your village, in your town?
Well, we are very as a city, we have a lot of like residential areas.
Okay.
And you get to hang out with kids from that area. I grew up in a city in front of the sea. So we had canals.
Okay.
And the canals, I'm not going to say like Venice because it's
It's different, slightly different. Uh-huh.
But we're still in front of the sea and the waters were very clean. So one of the things that I used to play with the kids from the neighborhood, let's say, was to go out and fish, catch a crab,
okay.
Or, you know,
uh-huh.
Get something out of the sea, basically.
And then you sort of eat it on the side,
and then
barbecue.
We would run home and bring it to mom and be like, cook it.
How cool is that, though?
Yeah.
How cool is that? So a quite natural childhood.
Yes, I would say. Very safe, very happy. Lots of kids around you. And if it wasn't the kids from the neighborhood, then it was the family. You know, from my mother's side, my grandmother had 6 kids. So I had plenty of cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of cousins. And from my father's side also, I had around 4 cousins. So we were quite a...
Football team.
Yeah.
But that's quite cool, I think, as well, because you sort of, you're the same but different, and you grow up together and go off and do your own things. And then you obviously left Venezuela at a point in time.
Yes.
And you've been in Malta quite a while as well. But do you still see your cousins today? Do you still...
No, we're all kind of around the world.
Okay.
Everybody's like in
spread
a different
out.
Place, yes. But I have to say, like, when I think back about like Christmas time with them or birthdays or Mother's Day or Father's Day, it was really special. Like, any excuse was good to get together,
mm-hmm.
and do a barbecue and just spend the day and have fun, you know?
But you mentioned barbecue there. You're sort of thinking... Steaks? Is beef a big thing?
Yeah.
And fish, because
you were close
to the water?
We like to continue with the Argentinian traditions, you know, and we try to cook the way they do and go for the cuts that they suggest and the style and everything. So barbecues are a big thing.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
Any excuse is a good excuse to do a barbecue, and we have the weather all year round.
Yeah. So
it's
never gets...
There. You never get winter.
Really?
You get rainy seasons, but...
Never gets cold.
You never get cold.
Never get to wear a coat.
No.
Oh.
Or boots.
Oh.
Although we still did, you know, because
you
fashion,
to.
Fashion is important.
Absolutely. And in those days, there was really sweet fashion as well.
Oh my God. I always wanted to wear one of those long coats, you know. It was like, and I'm not a tall person, but still, every time you open a magazine, the magazine from Spain, Hola, was very popular.
Okay.
And you could see... Princess Leticia, you know, all dressed up and beautiful. Like, you know, that European influence was still coming into the country one way or another.
Excellent. And but then I suppose maybe you could have made it in a lighter fabric to be able to wear it. But
you know, that's something that now that I live in a place with 4 seasons, I don't understand why we didn't put a lot of thought into understanding that we have a hot climate. And just dressing accordingly, you know? Like, I feel nowadays very sorry when I see a person on a suit in the middle of summer, and it's just because they work for a bank.
Mm.
But then the rest of the people changes their wardrobe to match it with the weather. In Venezuela, I wear jeans. And jeans is a very, like, warm piece of
heavy,
fabric.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was something, you know, that I, after I moved and I started, like, living in Europe, it's like...
It's like, quite an,
we,
yeah,
we could
good,
have gone for linen.
Good observation.
We could have
there,
gone for cotton.
But maybe they do now. Do you think? Or because now all of the global chains, I suppose it's...
I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, then again, there are all these cheap brands and companies,
yeah,
you know,
that.
They're still going for polyester. And.
But do the Venezuelans generally dress up? So if I had to come... to a christening or a baptism or something, would
yes.
as a guest dress up?
Very much. Yes. And I always remember, and even this I see it, like compare it, because back in Venezuela it was, you will be, you know, like perfectly dressed up, your clothes completely ironed, your nails done, your hair done, perfect makeup, like, you know, you don't break a sweat. You just look immaculate wherever you go because you don't know what's going to happen next. So if you're going to the office... You know, might as well go dress up yourself, because maybe afterwards you'll go to a party or to a cocktail or whatever.
So
just always immaculate.
Quite fun people as well then, ready for party.
Yes.
Yeah.
My father used to make the joke that I took out the garbage in high heels. And it wasn't so much of a joke.
But had to be ready just in case. Yeah, Prince Charming might be there.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know.
That was my mother's version. Ah. You never know.
you know. But so the social life over there, so you're saying cocktail parties and stuff, do people go to each other's homes for dinner, or is it, do you generally meet out?
I think there's a little bit of both. You do obviously get together with your friends and you invite them over to your place, especially the close friends. But that being said, I mean, as Venezuelans, we're very warm and welcoming. So you start the relationship and you open your door quite quickly. And also, like, you know, we have very good restaurants. The capital, especially Caracas, is just blessed with all this mix of cultures and different restaurants. Like, you can eat pretty much anything.
Ow.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But and then you go and dance it off afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
So what's a traditional Venezuelan dish? What would I definitely see on a menu?
Well, arepas, which is basically what's our bread, let's say. Mm-hmm. Just imagine it's round. It's like a pita bread sort of, but it's made out of corn. And you can fill it up with anything that you wish for.
Ah.
I mean, it's savory.
Mm-hmm.
It can be breakfast, it can be lunch, it can be dinner. And you can go from a simple ham and cheese to pulled beef and,
and all just stuffed up in you. It's like street food, or that's something that you would find everywhere?
That's street food. Mm. That's street food, but you'll find it everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. And what else? What another main dish that you would see that we should try?
Cachapas.
Okay.
So corn is quite special, I think, in all South America. It grows everywhere. Mm-hmm. I also think the corn, the variety of corn that we have in Venezuela, maybe also Colombia, it's a little bit more dry and sweet. So this is, again, a mixture of corn, but you get it from a hop and you actually remove it.
Okay.
You know, and then you have to like grind it to the point where it becomes like a paste.
Okay.
It's sweet, so they do add a little bit more sugar. Not that corn needs it, but why not? And then to contrast that, you put on top some fresh cheese.
Ah.
Which is very buttery and salty. The combination,
it sounds delicious, actually.
It's just fantastic. Okay. Yeah. So we have some influence. Our food in general has the African influence. So there is this sweet and sour mix.
Thing going on,
which is really good.
Really good. Yes. So you know, you're going to lick your lips.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And what about desserts?
We do a lot of things with coconut.
Okay.
So we do have
loads of coconuts,
a lot of coconut
there.
Trees. Uh-huh. Yes. Coconut, mango. Mango just grows everywhere. Mm. Literally everywhere. You have to be careful not that they won't fall in on top of your head. Because also the pieces of mango are not normal. They're just huge.
Okay.
Yes.
So when
there's
you see
a mango, which is like the normal size that we know here in Europe, that there's a manga, which is double the size.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's normal. That's like a regular fruit that you see. Okay.
Yes. So there are a lot of cakes and sweets with coconut. There's my favorite, which was called Bien Me Sabe, which translates to tastes good.
Great name for a dessert, yeah.
But it honestly tastes good. Have you ever tried the tres leches?
Yes, okay.
Okay, so this is like a tres leches, but with coconut.
Okay.
And rum.
There's
some people that add some rum to it. And it's just glorious.
So is rum the thing in Venezuela?
Yes. That's our spirit.
Uh-huh.
This is when I go back and think, my God, we were rich. We just didn't know it. Mm. Sometimes we went out. I used to live in front of the sea and in front of an area where we had islands.
Okay.
So it's called Mochima. It's a national park. And we have a couple of islands, you know, all distributed around the area. And if you, let's say, packed food for the day and you took with you a bottle of rum and you bump into a fisherman and he just captured a lobster, he'll exchange the lobster for that bottle of rum.
Okay.
Happily. Even if it's the cheapest bottle of rum, happily.
I suppose he gets fed up of lobster, so you might as well give it away.
So shall we try?
I wonder if you can cook rum, cook lobster in rum.
Maybe.
There you go. Well, there's a new thing. We can try that. Yeah. We can try that. And so eating out's quite casual. Loads of rum involved, cocktails, loads of lovely fruit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just imagining now. This is really sounding like an exotic paradise. What about if I did come to your house for dinner? What sort of time do Venezuelans eat dinner, for example?
Quite early. So we don't have like the extra hours that we get to have here during the summertime in Europe. There is like, you know, sunset will go around 6:30. So okay. It's kind of, you know, it's always the same, it's standard. So you'll have dinner at 7. Mm. You know, once it's dark, it's time to have dinner.
Okay.
7 or 8. Yeah.
In off the streets, round the table for the kids kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you would just know to be at someone's house by 7 if you're invited for dinner.
Well, we are known for being late.
Really?
Yeah, well, not me. I managed to fix that. But we used to make this joke to my dad because... So my dad is actually Spanish.
Okay.
He will be the first one. If we were going to a restaurant, he will be the first one arriving. So if we said that we were going to meet at 1, he'll be there at 12:30.
Uh-huh.
Just make sure that he finds parking, that he's at the place, and, you know, that he... There's nobody there alone, you know. He could keep them company. So we used to say that he went there to dress up the tables.
Oh.
But you don't need to go and dress up the table. The restaurant will do it for you.
Oh, bless. So Venezuelans are known to be late. So if you go round for dinner, kind of a bit casual in terms of timing.
Yeah, yeah. You tell people to come at 7 so they can show up at 7:30 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if they show up before, it's like, but why?
And would they bring rum with them, or would they bring wine, chocolates? What would they bring to your house? What's the gift?
Wine, I think we do get European wines, and of course they're more expensive because it's farther, but we also get wines from Chile, from Argentina, sometimes from the United States. But yeah, I think especially those who are mixed, they come from European families, wine was kind of the tradition.
The thing, okay.
Yeah, otherwise, beer.
Beer, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
The more beer a man can drink, the more macho he was, so...
Moving swiftly on to finding the right man and getting married then. What are Venezuelan weddings like?
Oh, my God, the fairy tale. She'll wear, you know, the most amazing white dress and, you know, his prince, obviously, tuxedo. But yeah, we'll get married in church.
Mm-hmm.
Very traditional, I would say. Big weddings, at least back in the days. And lots of food. I mean, you kind of follow the steps, right? So you might go to the wedding in church and then there'll be a reception while you're waiting for the bride and the groom to arrive. Then they'll greet you with wine, and there'll be a nice big table with full of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then kind of they arrive and the celebration sort of begins. And yeah, we start like snacking. There's a lot of finger food.
Okay.
Until the moment to sit down and have a proper dinner arrives. Which I don't understand because you can't really eat anymore.
And you're all dressed up to the nines, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Pretty colours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there lots of bling as well? Is it quite sort of shiny and spectacular at a Venezuelan wedding?
Yes,
yeah?
Yes, absolutely. I'm telling you, like it's hot temperature, but still people will dress up.
Mm-hmm.
Long dresses, very inappropriate fabrics. But now I understand this, you know. Back in the day, for me, that was fine. I mean, it's all about looking good.
Yeah. You know, just have the rum and go with the flow. Yeah.
Yeah,
so there's a sit down dinner after the finger food.
Yeah. So you sit down, you have your meal, and then you get up. Obviously, there's going to be plenty of dancing.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in the evening, the band might change. If it's a good wedding, the band might change. They might bring another band. And then we start with something that they call La Hora Loca. Which is the crazy hour. And the bride and the groom will have selected a couple of costumes. A big black bag comes out full of costumes that will just be distributed for the guests to wear.
Okay.
And then you start dancing, you know, around the reception place, you know.
In the costumes.
In the costumes. Uh-huh. Yes. It could be anything. If you're into, I don't know, superheroes, Marvel, then you'll be...
You could be Wonder Woman, Superman, whatever.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And this lasts for 1 hour? Laura Loca? Sounds
Laura
like
Loca.
The crazy hour.
No. No. I mean, it's a... It could be maybe, it could be 45 minutes or an hour, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But it's the tipping point of the wedding.
Because you do go around and you want everyone to stand up and dance.
Okay.
So everybody needs to participate. There's enough costumes in that bag for the entire guest list. So it's like, come on, chop chop, everybody up and let's just enjoy the party.
What fun.
Yes. Yeah. The photos are usually amazing because glamour is like... on the side, and now it's just about having fun.
So does this happen towards the end of the wedding, or is this like the signal for the family, you know, the grown-ups to leave, and this is your
friends? I think the older people might have left, the, mm-hmm. you know, your grandparents, but then the younger generation will still be there, your friends will uh-huh. be there, and yeah, well, people with a little bit more energy, perhaps.
Or Red Bull with their rum.
Exactly. And then they'll just, you know, lose it a little bit, let the high heels on the side.
Uh-huh. Dance and dance.
Yes.
And then when that is finished, it carries on as a regular party, you just take off the costumes kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just keep going until...
You can, or not, I mean, it's up to you.
Uh-huh.
But...
What, take off the costumes?
Yes.
Some people just
yes.
keep
Oh yeah, you'll take it home for sure.
Ah, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's fun, and then maybe you'll use it in carnival.
Ah, that's really cool.
But yeah, it's like a souvenir, you know.
Uh-huh, it's better than a bag of almonds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, we do get the bag of almonds.
As well, okay.
But that happens for first communions or, yeah,
okay.
Baptism.
Uh-huh.
Traditional.
But
yes,
no, I think
very traditional.
Fancy dress costume is the best wedding souvenir. I think we need to deploy that to Malta. That would really liven things up a bit. That could be really fun. So then you go sort of full circle, you move in together, you have your children, we go back through that sort of cycle of life. What about things like Christmas? And are there other times of year that you celebrate as a family? Are there any other crazy things that you guys do? So, I'm just a bit nervous about asking this question now, but yeah.
Carnival is usually a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
So we take around 2 days off. So it's usually like Thursday and Friday, and then you have Saturday and Sunday, and it's like a big celebration. We wear costumes, of course, like anyone else, but we also play with water. Mm-hmm. So we fill up these little balloons with water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you have to be careful during carnival times because you might be all dressed up nicely, like I was once going to the university with my thesis printed,
uh-huh.
and somebody threw a balloon of water on me. Yeah,
oh.
Thankfully it didn't get me, but yeah,
thesis was safe.
I just turned around like how could you?
Oh. So you just throw bottles of balloons of water at people, randomly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's usually in between the kids, but, you know, sometimes people get creative.
And don't quite grow up.
Exactly.
So you have carnival. What about Christmas? Is that a big deal? Did you have
days? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Christmas, of course, we go to Mass and we celebrate it together. And mm-hmm. they do, I think they call it the crib.
Yes.
From the beginning to the church until the very end, they're massive.
Okay.
And I think we celebrate the 24th. Evening
right,
together.
Yep.
We have the meal with the family. The 24 is usually like more family oriented, let's say. And then we open the presents at midnight because baby Jesus was born at midnight, and
that's the
when
gift.
The presents need to be open.
Now, mommy, now.
Yeah. So some of the kids actually wait to see if they have an opportunity to see Santa. Never happens, of course. But there's plenty of fireworks, plenty of food, everybody cooks, and then you just have leftovers for the next...
But do you eat turkey? What's the main meat that you would have at Christmas?
So our main dish is called hallacas.
Okay.
And it's, again, corn,
mm-hmm.
as I mentioned before, it's quite important for us. So we do this stew with different types of meat, and also a bit of raisins and olives. And we kind of cover it up on that this corn dough.
Okay.
And afterward, it goes into a banana leaf, which has been smoked.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of passes the flavor. Yeah. You'll cook everything together in boiling water.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically like the star of the Christmas, right? And aside from that, we have something called pan de jamón,
which is
gorgeous because it's like this, it's this sweet bread filled up with smoked ham and bacon, olives and raisins. So again, sweet and sour is part
gets
of our,
in there.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Because I was just wondering, do you guys do Day of the Dead like the Mexicans do? Or is it you don't partake in that because it's Catholic rather than...
No, that's basically the day that you go to a cemetery and you visit.
But you don't do all of the... It's not another opportunity to dress up.
No, that's a beautiful tradition, but no.
Ah, no, you don't.
We have another tradition, which is called Los Diablos de Yare. And that happens in a state called Miranda.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically after 9 weeks after Carnival.
Okay.
People will dress up like devils.
Right.
And believe it or not, this is a religious tradition.
Okay.
Okay. So the person who is dancing inside of the costume has basically asked the Virgin for a favor or to cure someone in their family, you know, so it's
like a forgiveness of sins or a sort of type of thing. Okay.
Or, you know, asking for a miracle basically for someone that might be ill. It's quite beautiful. It was one of the things why tourists used to come to Venezuela to see them because it's very colorful. And what else? We also have another tradition called Cruz de Mayo, which is basically a season where we welcome the rain.
Okay.
And it kind of, people goes out with crosses all decorated with white flowers. So it's, again...
A springtime, yeah.
So yeah, kind of opening the spring. But it's linked to religion. And then I think every region kind of has a different devotion for a virgin. So in my town, we have La Virgen del Valle, which is basically the Virgin that showed up to a fisherman in the middle of the storm.
Okay, to help him.
And we have, I think, one of the biggest Virgin Marys in front of the sea, you know, kind of taking care of all the
fishermen,
the people,
out there.
Yeah, sailing.
And I suppose it's important because you live off the fish.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to be booking a flight. It sounds fascinating, but I'm definitely going to crash a Venezuelan wedding. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. I'm definitely going to one of those. But it's been really lovely speaking to you, Diana. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's Good Manners Map, telling me all about Venezuela.
My pleasure.